Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I will begin. I just want to thank the Lord for the blessing of safe traveling mercy. First of all, I went out this evening, and I was visiting with my son, Jarvis. So when I was visiting with him, I saw that he had on shorts and just socks, and he didn't have enough clothes. And I said, Jarvis, it's going to freeze tonight. And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get you some warm clothes and some more shoes. So that's why I'm a little late. I'm just getting back home. So I just want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for being patient and coming on. So now I will begin a word of prayer. So be with me in prayer, because my son needs prayers, my sisters. He needs prayers. So let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is thy name. Father, we come before you, Father, to thank you for this day that we now are in the land of the living. Father, truly we are blessed because we keep your commandments. We are standing in the word of God. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to come to the prayer line and to fellowship and to come together and worship you, Father. We thank you so much. Now, Father, as I lift up my brothers and sisters that come to the prayer line to share their testimony, their thanks, their praise to you, Father, I'm asking that bless them tonight. Bless their homes. Bless their children. Bless all that they have, Father. And I'm asking you, continue to work in us your righteousness and bless us, Father, with your love and your mercy as you are doing every day. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for our Savior that interceding for us day and night. Thank you so much, Father, for blessing us with your only begotten Son. Now, Father, as we continue on this prayer line, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to be with us, teaching us, leading and guiding us. And, Father, to help us to hear and listen to the word of God. I'm asking you to bless us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And may you go before us on this prayer line and teach your word. Let it be you. I mean, let it be your Son. Because he said the word of God, he is the word. So let the word be heard on this prayer line to your children. And we ask all this in the worthy name of our Savior. And we pray, Father, we need the Holy Spirit to touch us tonight, to help us as we are here on this prayer line. And thank you. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, as we are here tonight to give God the praise and thank him through another Sabbath day to refresh us by keeping that Sabbath holy. Oh, thanks be to God. So, brothers and sisters, I will read the prophecy and on the board, the last day event. It say, our work is to proclaim to the world the first, second, and third, the third angel's message. In this charge of our duties, we are neither to despise nor fear our enemy, to bind ourselves up by contact with those not of our faith is not in the order. So we just thank you as we, Advent Light Ministry, are beginning to armor ourselves up and put on that warfare clothing. We are getting we are having a meeting that God is getting ready to bring the sisters and brothers in Louisiana that we can go and spread the gospel, sisters. And I'm asking that all my brothers and sisters keep it in prayer that this may go through and that be finished according to the will of God. Amen. And now, And going out there to tell people about that, brothers and sisters, we just want to give God praise. So, amen. So I'm going to open the line for my brothers and sisters and just and begin to share. Amen. So welcome again, and God bless each and every one. Amen. We open the first line for 272-770. Your line is open. Amen. Make sure you can
Amen.
Hear me.
Amen, Sister Leona. Thank you so much for opening my line. This is Sister Tymiko from Florida, and I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory because he has brought us through another week safe and sound. He has protected us. He has given us our children and our family members safe traveling mercy. So I just give him all praise and honor and glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for always taking care of us. Thank you, dear Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. I thank the Lord because he loves us with an everlasting love. So I just want to thank the Lord, and I just want to thank him for being with us at all times. And I definitely would like to leave a Bible scripture here in Psalms chapter 121, verses 1 through 8. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I have a song I would like to sing, my beloved. Power in the blood. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you all evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from oppression and pride? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's time. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live dearly his praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my beloved sister, for opening my line. And I would like a prayer request to lift up all my beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening, and prayer for my family and also for my grandchildren. So thank you, my beloved sister. Love you always and forever. God bless you. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Sister Tymiko, for your song, and thank you for the scripture reading, and may God continue to bless you. But I'm going to go to the next caller. I'm not going to talk much, but let's go to the next caller. Amen. We're going to open the next line for 423-635. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. I'm just thanking the Lord for another day, for his blessing, his mercy, and mercies upon me and each and every one of us. It's because of God's mercies that we're still alive and we're in the land of the living, and I get to praise him and thank him. And I just want to share Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 22. It says, but now being made free from sin and become servant to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And it continues, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can choose this day who we're going to serve and which gift we're going to take. We're going to take the gift of eternal life, or are we going to get the wages of sin, which is death? So I'm just thanking the Lord for just helping me to understand his word and helping me to know how precious these promises are, and that I need to keep them and remember them and to share it with others, because there's so much out there. It's so many people that are suffering. Number one killer out there is stress, and you have cardiac arrest, and these things ought not be, but because of what's going on, the diet, basically not adhering to the 8 laws of health. So may the Lord truly help each and every one of us. So thank you again, Sister Leola. Amen.
Praise God, my sister. Oh, how do we know, sister, as you speaking about health and diet? Oh, I do know what you mean about that. So, brothers and sisters, all I can say is amen, Sister Carla, because I'm always trying to watch this and watch that, but not always following everything. Keep me in prayer and keep the brothers and sisters in prayer, because, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, my sister. So thank you for coming on and sharing with us. And I'm going to go to the next caller because I'm late. I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for being patient, because as we was having this meeting, I was in Baton Rouge, and my son was, I said, let me just stop to just check on him, because, you know, I haven't had a car, and I just wasn't able to get to him. And I'm telling you, I stopped by. I said, let me go see him. I stopped by to see my son. My son did have some shorts. It's going to be 30 degrees out there, sisters and brothers. He had his hands all warmed up in his, you know how you try to put them down in his pants and keep his hand warm. So I told him, I said, I'm going home right now and get you some clothes. So that's why I'm a little late today. But praise God, I got back here in time enough that everybody can still join in early. So I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for, still coming on, and rather than thinking I'm not going to be here. So thank you once again. And we got quite a few that press one. So let me open these lines. So I just want to say welcome, brothers, to Advent Light Ministry. And I'm glad that you are here to share. So let us open this next line, 985-232, and you can begin to share your testimony. Amen?
Amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Hummel, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his love, his mercy, and it endure forever. And I just want to thank him for loving us and just keeping his hands around us, bringing us back on his line once more. I'm reading the devotion prayer. Eternal and everlasting God, you have taught us all we need to know to follow you. You have sent us to prophets and every generation to call us back to you. You continue to forgive us when we wander. We thank you for all you do for us and ask that you help us to stay on the straight path. We thank you for all you do for us and ask that you help us to stay on the straight path. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It came back up. I just want to thank God because we know the devil don't like this, but God is good. We get his word through, and we determine to get it through. He know when you want to give up and you don't care. That's when he know he got you. But he know one thing. I learned to endure that mustard seed. I never had that patience coming up, but I learned to endure it now. Pain taught me. That's how God got through my mind, through pain, when he humbled me. So now I know how to humble myself. So that's why I endure now is this mustard seed. So now the Lord has sent me a blessing. Brothers and sisters, the Lord have blessed me once more. He has blessed me with an award to buy me a brand new manufactured home trailer like I have now because my house is destructive when the tree fell in it, so I'll be able to move into a brand new home. So God is blessing me. So I think I'm doing something good here for the, doing something good. Because I just thank him. I know he's awesome. He's been good to me, and I can tell a story. So I just thank God for his blessing and thank him for his mercy because he endures forever. And I just want to ask a prayer for Advent Light, our family off and on his line, all our mission members, and all the sick, the ones that are outside, praying for all those that are in the jail, in the hospital, nursing home, wherever they may be, praying for all the ones that are Sister Power that is in Jamaica doing her ministry, her daughter, and our other family members, wherever they be, that's sick and need help. We ask the Lord to put his arm around them and bring them back to where they need to be and bless them. We just ask for prayers for all our members and all the their children and grandchildren. We just want to thank God because he's worthy to praise. And I just want to say God bless each and every one, and y'all just keep me in prayer that I may go stronger in the Lord. Amen. That's it, Sister Leola. Brother John, I come right down. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing, brothers and sisters. God is working it out for his children. And I'm not going to say any more about that, Sister Brenda, but I would like to read my sisters and brothers something here. I'm looking in this book earlier, right, and sisters and brothers, and I just want to read this paragraph. I had some others. I'm going to try to, but I want to say this one. It says, the angels of God left these and went to aid of the earnest prayer ones. Now, if he left the ones that wasn't praying, he came to the ones that was praying. Again, I'm going to say again, the angels of God left the ones that wasn't praying, and he went to aid of the earnest prayers ones. And she said, I saw the angel of God hasten to assist all who were struggling with all their power to resist the evil angels and trying to help themselves by calling upon God with perseverance. But his angels left those who made know themselves and lost sight of them. Brothers and sisters, I say, Lord, have mercy. That's why the prayer, Sister Powell always talk about, we were saying earlier, Sister Powell talking about how we have to pray because the earlier writing says the angels left those that wasn't earnestly praying. So I just want to thank God for constantly praying and need to even spend more time in prayer closet. You see, God loves that time, sisters and brothers. He loved that time with us to spend more time in the closet prayer. So I'm going to open the next line because next break, next space in between, I want to read to you. The spirit of prophecy said, I was asked the meaning of the shaking. I want to share that with you after I open the other line. Amen. So we want to thank my brothers and sisters for sharing their testimonies and sharing their scripture readings and songs, because truly God gets all the worship and the glory. So let us open 857-505. We open in your line. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God, Sister Miola, for his love, for his mercy, because God is good. He's merciful, Sister Miola. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. Oh, Sister Miola, God is able to do all things. He's a marvelous God. And Sister Miola, I feel like praying for someone on this line at this moment, Sister Miola, because more prayer, more power. Because Sister Miola, others need a lot of prayer. Don't forget to lift up my mother in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Sister Miola. Don't forget to lift up Sister Tamiko's husband in prayer. Don't forget to lift up individual in prayer. But let me sing a song before I do a special prayer. Amen, Sister Miola. Let me do a special song and I do a
Brother
prayer.
Eli?
Amen.
Brother,
yeah, you want
Eli?
Me to pray, Sister Miola?
You can do, well, if you're going to do a special prayer, we can. You can either do a special prayer or you can, and then you want to do something else. So you can just do the prayer right now if you want, if you will. You can just do the prayer, okay?
Okay, Sister Miola, sure. Let me do the prayer right now. Amen, Sister Miola. Okay, brothers and sisters, let's close our eyes, brothers and sisters. Let us pray.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, we want to praise you, Lord. God, we want to magnify your name, Lord, because God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, you're marvelous, God. God, you're the King of King, and you are the Lord of Lord. There is no one else like you, Lord. At this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Miola, God, who is the host on the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we ask God to give Sister Miola the victory, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Miola, God, the strength, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Miola, God, with your blood, Lord. God, cover Sister Miola as a window post, Lord. Cover Sister Miola, God, as a window post, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, break every chain, God, for Sister Miola, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Miola's husband to you, Lord. God, we want to live for Sister Miola's daughter, Lord, her sons too, Lord. We ask God to watch over them, Lord. We ask God to strengthen them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to give them deliverance, God. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Carla to you, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Carla, Lord. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. We ask God to give her the strength, Lord. God, we ask God, allow her to fix her eyes up, up on you, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to fix her eyes up on you, Lord. God, we ask God to come deliver her, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask God to bless her, God, in the Markoy, Lord. God, we want to lift up her daughter, God. God, we want to lift up her son to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Nicholas to you, Lord. We want to lift up Sister Amanda to you, Lord. We ask God to watch over them, Lord. We ask God to baptize them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to come bless them, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for them, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for Sister Tamiko, God, on this prayer line, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Tamiko, God, with your blood, Lord. Cover Sister Tamiko, God, with your righteousness, Lord. Cover her, Lord. God, we ask God to cover Sister Tamiko, Lord. Break every chain for her, Lord. God, we ask God to cover her window post, Lord. We ask God to cover her door post, God, in Florida, Lord. We ask God to watch over her, Lord. God, watch over her daughter, Lord. God, watch over her mom, too, Lord. Strengthen her mom, God. Watch over her sister, Lord. Watch over her husband, too, Lord. Brother Tony, Lord. We ask God to come bless Brother Tony, God, in the mockery, Lord. We ask God, allow Brother Tony, God, to bring a special message on the prayer line, Lord.
Amen.
On
Amen.
The afterlife ministry, Lord. We ask God to strengthen him, Lord. We ask God to give him wisdom, Lord. God, we ask God to open his eyes, Lord. Allow him to focus on you, Lord. Sister Tamiko's beloved husband to you, Lord. God, we want to lift him up to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Allow him to spend time with you, Lord. Allow him to spend time in prayer, Lord, and worship, Lord. We're going to deliver him, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to come bless him, God. Watch over him, Lord. Watch over us, Sister Tamiko's husband to you, Lord. God, we ask you, God. We want to thank you, God, for what you have done for him, Lord. Allow him to bring a testimony, God, in the prayer line, Lord. Allow him to bring a special message on the prayer line, Lord. After like ministry, Lord. We ask God to knock a door
Amen,
in his
Amen.
Heart, Lord. Knock a door in his heart, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord. Strengthen everyone, God, in this line, Lord. Watch over everyone, God, in this line, Lord. Bless everyone, God. Bless every single one of us, Lord. Bless us, God. Watch over us, Lord. God, watch over Brother Akeem, who's going to bring a message to, Lord. Watch over Brother Wick, Lord. Bless Brother with God. Bless everyone, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Miola. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for offering the prayers for us. And next time I'm gonna give you the names you're gonna just pray for. We're gonna give you the names, Brother Eli, because you lift up all the names and we love the prayers you pray. So we thank you, Brother Eli. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller. Amen. We're going to, there's no one that pressed one yet. Okay, there's no one pressed one. I'm going to just read this part as it said. It said, I asked the meaning of the shaking. I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodicean. This will have it of the receivers and will lead him to exalt the standards and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what will cause a shaking amongst God's people. Brothers and sisters, did you hear what Spirit of Prophecy says? This, they will rise up against it, and this is what will cause the shaking amongst God's people. And sisters and brothers, as we are on this prayer line, learning and studying about God's word, we pray for our brothers and sisters that we've been on this prayer line for years, that we not one of the ones that would be shaken out, that we will stand firm, sisters and brothers. And you know what God says about us? He say, if you love one another and pray for one another, you know, he said, God is going to help strengthen us. So if we show forth the love and praying and helping one another on this prayer line, God could actually save us. Because that's going to be people shaking out. The people that's of wisdom, pastors and preachers and people in high places. So we don't want to be one of them because we've been doing all this for nothing. Oh, we want to be, we want to hold on to God's unchanging hand. So if there's anyone else who would like to share, please press 1. But if not, I will read the second part. Amen. No one pressed 1, so let us read. I'm trying to read a little bit over the words. And he say, I saw that the testimony of the true witness has not been half heeded, the solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. This testimony must work deeply repentance. All who truly receive it will obey it and be purified. So by God's grace, as we were speaking earlier, sometimes we can hear present truth. You don't hear present truth always in the church. But you know what? What the Bible says, if we don't hear present truth in the church, we got to study for ourselves. So let's praise God for that. And God will help us. He will help us to understand, brothers and sisters. So that's what we ought to be doing. And if there's anyone else would like to share, you can press 1. But I will share the next statement, what she's talking about. It said, said the angel, list yet, yea. Soon I heard a voice like many musical instruments, all sounding in perfect strains, sweet harmonies. It surpassed any music I have ever heard, seeming to be full of mercy, compassion, and elevating holy joy. It thrilled through my whole being, said the angel. Look, yet my attention was then turned to the company that I had seen, who were mighty shaken. I was shown those whom I had before seen weeping and praying in agony of the spirit. The company of guardian angels around them had been doubled, and they were clothed with an armor from their head to their feet. They moved in exact order, like a company of soldiers. Their countenance expressed the service conflict which they had endured, the agony struggle they had passed through. Yet their future, marked with stern internal anguish, now shone with the light and glory of heaven. They had obtained the victory, and it called forth from them the deepest gratitude and holy rejoice. So as we are reading early writings, brothers and sisters, it's allowing us to see the glory of God. So we just want to thank God for this, and I'm just going to put this up, and now I will ask my brothers and sisters to share their scriptures and testimonies. Amen. If anyone that has a comment or anyone want to share, I'm asking that you press 1. Or now, if you have any prayer requests or if you have anything that you would like to share, press 1 and I can open your line. Amen. There's no one. My brothers and sisters, enjoy the reading. So when I see one that pressed 1, I will open the line. See. Okay, hold on, sister. Let me see. 272. I'm opening your line. I believe she's ready.
Hi, you got me through? Yes, Mom. Mom is on the line, yes. Sister Leola. She wants to say hello.
Amen. Your line.
How are you, Sister Leola, and all the sisters there that's on the line? May our sovereign Lord Jehovah God bless all of you today and keep you safe. But in order for that to happen, you have to open your hearts to him. because with your heart open, he can hear you. And with your heart open, you could be seen by him through his Holy Spirit at Luke 11:13. So we want to thank Jehovah God. And the scripture I'd like to share with you today is from Psalm 77:12. And it says, I will meditate on your activities all day long. And I just would like to read you one of our servants from the Bible, a message. It says, when Jesus and his disciples were caught in a storm at sea, Jesus used the event to help them to see areas where they needed greater faith. And one of the scriptures, when y'all get a chance, I won't give it all to you now, at Matthew 8:23-26, they needed the help because as this storm aged on the waters and swept over the boat, what was Jesus Christ doing? He was sleeping peaceably. But when the terrified disciples woke him and asked him to save them, the Lord gently reproved them. And he asked them, why are you so afraid? You have little faith. Are you facing a greater storm in your life? And it might involve hardship because of a natural disaster, or it may be a figment of storm, such as a severe health problem that they may have, and that was left on their feelings, and this made them overwhelmed and unsure of what to do. So again, you may be anxious at times, but do you not let your anxiety stop you from trusting in Jehovah God, our sovereign Lord? In order for that to happen, at James 4:8 says we should draw close to Jehovah God in earnest prayer. Mm-hmm. Strengthen your faith by meditating on the times in the past when Jehovah helped you. At Psalm 77:11, as long as you open your heart to Jehovah God and let him come in, he can help you through any problem, through any disaster. And you can be sure that he will never abandon you or not ever leave you. And so if we put our full trust in Jehovah God at all times, not leaning on our own understanding, but relying on him through his word, the Bible, and his Holy Spirit at Luke 11:13, in all of your Bibles, the blessings and the love and the maledictions from our sovereign Lord, Jehovah God himself, will be endless upon us. So, friends, what we want to all do tonight and every day of our lives, open our hearts to our sovereign Lord, Jehovah God, so his word of truth can come in, and we can be blessed, we can live by it, and we can share it with others. We don't want to have the truth and not share it with our brothers and sisters. We want to share it with everyone. And that's why the Bible said in Matthew 6:33, in all of your Bibles, Tamiko, can you bring that in, Matthew 6:33? What does it say?
Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. Right.
Thank you, Jehovah God. So it says,
Amen.
Keep seeking it.
Yes,
keep seeking first the kingdom,
yes,
and Jehovah,
yes,
God's righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So in order to seek that kingdom, we have to open our hearts and our minds to our heavenly sovereign Father in heaven, Jehovah God himself. And by we doing this, when we open our hearts to him, he can come in. He can help us. He can lift us up. He can keep us safe. And not only us, but all those that are suffering all over the world, the lonely, the destitute, the brokenhearted, he can come in and help them and save them. Because, friends, we are never alone. Jehovah God is,
Amen,
always with us through his Holy Spirit. And if you're in doubt, just read your Bible at Luke 11:13. And that shows us where Jehovah God, Holy Spirit, is with us, in us, as long as we open our hearts to him. And then when doing that, what we want to do, Tamika, with Psalm 65:2, what did it tell us that we need to do?
Psalm 65:2, that Jehovah God is the hearer of prayers. He will hear and answer our prayers.
Thank you, Jehovah God. Yes, he,
Amen,
will. Do we believe that, friends?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
thank
Jehovah,
you,
God. I certainly do.
Thank you.
Yes.
We
thank
Mama Dorothy, Sister Tamika, Mother. I know she don't mind me telling her age because she loves to tell people she don't sound like
Oh, I do.
Brother.
Well, let me tell you, my age, I'm young like Jack Benny's age. You know what Jack Benny's age was, right?
Yes.
How old was he?
39.
Okay, well, I'm young at heart. So that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Keep
Amen.
That thought in
Amen.
Mind, and you'll be young.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mama.
Your real age is 90,
on
Mom.
And share
really
it.
90.
My next birthday, July 4th, Tamiko.
Yes. How old
Tamiko, we thank y'all for coming
you just
on
said
sharing,
it.
Okay?
Our loving yes, Father, it is truly a privilege.
Sorry about that, brothers and sisters. My hand actually touched the button. But we want to thank Sister Tamika Mother for coming on and sharing that with us as we are studying together and fellowshipping together. We always need encouragement as God wants us to encourage one another. So thank you so much, Mama Dorothy. And I'm telling you, she's young at heart. I mean, she can read and she can do all these things with no glasses. I'm saying, you wearing glasses? She said, no, I don't have to wear glasses to read. I said, oh, I have to wear them. But I want to thank her for coming to share. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to go into a word of prayer. And I know that all my brothers and sisters, I want to make sure if there's anyone else like to share. We are waiting and asking that you put your hand up, press 1, and you can share. But if not, we're going to go into a word of prayer. We're going to ask for our brothers and sisters to pray because, first of all, Brother Eli had lifted up the brothers and sisters. We want to just a general prayer, and we want to lift up. We have others. We want to have others to pray for. So I want to ask Sister Tamiko if she could lift up some prayers. We're going to open up your line. Sister Tamiko, we're going to ask for you to lift up some prayers because Brother Akeem will be on in a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to lift up Sister Katie, Sister Katie and Brother Rick and Brother Eli. You can lift up 4 prayers. Sister Katie, Brother Eli, and Brother Rich, and Sister Brenda. You lift up those 4 prayers for me.
Okay, Sister Brenda.
Yes. Okay, brothers and sisters, she's going to lift up in prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious night, dear Lord. We thank you for bringing us together, Lord. You said where 2 or more are gathered, there you are in our midst. So we are so grateful to come together, dear Lord. We are so grateful that you love us all with an everlasting love. We are so grateful, Lord, that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. We are so grateful, Lord, that you said in your word we are the apple of your eye. Lord, we bless your great and holy name. We magnify your great and holy name, Lord, and we glorify your great and holy name. Lord, tonight, as Sister Leola is hosting the prayer line, we ask that you give her a special touch of supernatural healing to fall upon her. Heal her, dear Lord, and we ask for a special touch of a fresh anointing to fall afresh upon her and upon the event prayer line tonight, Lord. Please be with us, dear Lord, all tonight on this line. And we ask that you give her a double portion of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and her family. Bless God and keep them safe and well. Heavenly Father, we also lift up Brother Akeem James as he will be speaking tonight, dear Lord, and giving the sermon. Continue to bless, guide, and keep him safe and well. Cover him under the blood of Jesus, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Be with him, Lord. Strengthen him, sustain him, dear Lord, and give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let the Holy Spirit always be his teacher and his guide, and we will be sure to give you all praise and honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up Brother Rick and his family. Dear Lord, continue to bless his wife and his mom and his dad. We thank you for saving them from the fire, Father God. We thank you that you're always there for us, dear Lord, and that you provide our every need according to your riches and glory. So continue to bless Brother Rick and his family. Bless his daughters. Ashley, I don't know their other names, but continue to bless his children, his daughters, and his grandchildren. Heavenly Father, you know them all by name, so continue to be with them, Father God. Cover their doorposts under the blood of Jesus. Cover their window posts under the blood of Jesus, that no weapons formed against them shall prosper.
dear Lord, but that you will strengthen them and be with them every step of the way. So we lift them up to you, Lord. And we also are praying tonight for Sister Brenda and her husband, Brother John, and their children and their grandchildren. Continue to strengthen her, Father God. You know everything about your precious daughter. She is a faithful servant of yours. Bless her more abundantly, more than she can ever ask or dream, Lord. We ask that you hide her in the ark of safety, Lord. We ask that you hide her in your white robe of righteousness and give her a triple portion of the Holy Spirit today and always. Be with her, Father God, and continue to walk with her along life's narrow ways, Father God. We thank you so much for Sister Brenda and her precious family. We're so happy for them, dear Lord, that they have a place to live in because it's only by you, Lord, because we could do nothing without you. You are the vine and we are the branches. You are the potter and we are the clay. So we thank you for what you're doing for each and every one of our beloved brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we also lifting up Brother Eli and his mom, Rose, and we're praying for all of his precious friends at the DACO program. We're praying for Sister Shamika, Brother Javel, Brother Jahari, dear Lord. We're praying for Brother Dylan, who also had a baby and he named her after me. I'm so grateful that now there's another Tyneko around. So bless him abundantly, Lord. Continue to strengthen him, feed his family. I ask that you provide their every need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Help him, dear Lord, whatever he stands in need of. Help him, dear Lord, and provide for him, dear Lord. May you continue to strengthen him and his family, Father God. And we ask that you hide them behind the cross of Calvary. We ask that you hide them, dear Lord, in your white robe of righteousness and let them feel your presence even right now. Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up tonight my mom, who's on the prayer line, Sister Darcy. Continue to
thank you, Jehovah God,
and her family, plus her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren, Lord. And, dear Lord, we're so grateful that she is still here with us. Dear Lord, it's such a blessing, dear Lord, that she is going to be 90 years old. So by your grace and tender mercy, she is still here, dear Lord, and she is a faithful servant of yours. She is still standing, still preaching and spreading your word to win souls for you, Lord. So we're so grateful, Father God, for her. And we ask that you continue to be with her. Keep her protected at all times, Lord. Watch her going in and going out, dear Lord, and be with her every minute, every second, every hour, Lord. So, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every name I call tonight that you
thank you, Jehovah God.
Keep us all safe and well, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us favor over our lives, dear Lord. And we ask that you protect us from the enemy because we know he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we thank you, Father God. We praise your great and holy name. We glorify your great and holy name, Lord, and we love you. We trust in you and we believe in you. We stand on your promises tonight and always. We leave now, Heavenly Father, in the precious and matchless and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray always with praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jehovah God, our sovereign Lord, head of all things, in all things. We thank you for your loving kindness upon us.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for lifting up prayers. And I will pray for Mama Darcy, Brother. I want to pray a special prayer for Brother Rick, prayer for the Brenda Trailer, a prayer for Sister Katie's son and her grandchildren, and a prayer for Brother Akeem. And also pray the prayer for the Louisiana Evangelistic Outreach. We want to pray for that. We're going to have an outreach here in Louisiana. And brothers and sisters, if you all please could donate towards that, we're going to be setting up a tent to go out and we're going to be doing literature. We're going to be serving food. We're going to fix food for them, do backpacks. You know, all this costs money. We're doing backpacks and we're putting little toiletry and little things in there for them. We're doing an outreach here. We're trying to reach a lot of people. So by God's grace, we asking brothers and sisters to please donate and give it to Brother Rick, and he's our treasurer. So that's why I'm lifting him up in prayer again, because Brother Rick has been our treasurer for 10 years, I believe now, 10 years he's been the treasurer. And I'm telling you, he's doing a lovely job. So I'm going to lift that up in prayer. So let us pray right now. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you once again, Father. You see the names, the list that we have, Father, that we are lifting up your children to you, our which is our brothers and sisters. Father, you say if we love one another and pray for one another, Father, you hear the prayers. And I have read in earlier writings, God will send his angels speedily because we've been agonizing in prayer for one another. So, Heavenly Father, as I come before you, lifting up Mama Dorothy, Father, you have blessed her above her years. You have granted her a blessing to see all her children, grown women, and now great-grandchildren, grandchildren, Father. And, Lord, Father, I thank you that she on this prayer line with us today, giving you thanks and praise and teaching and telling all about your word. So, Father, continue to bless her according to thy will. Lord, Father, bless her, the home. I'm asking you to bless her health, her mind, her body. Continue to work in her, Father, your will, how she teaches people the word of God. And now, Father, we also asking you to bless her children and keeping her children, Father. And we just thank you for Sister Tamiko as she brings her mother to have fellowship in worship with us. And Heavenly Father, now we lift up Brother Rick to you, Father, a man that has been such faithful. Lord, you see everything that he has done from day one up until this day. Father, I've never met such sincere, hardworking, on time as Brother Rick to bring so much things to the prayer line. Whenever he is needed, Father, he's come to the aid to help people. And so, Father, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to pour him out. You say that if he do what he do, you say he wouldn't even have a window, open enough windows for the things you're going to pour out to him. So, Father, I'm asking that you continue to pour the blessings on Brother Rick and help him. Working through him, how he is our treasurer. He's providing the money that we are able to do meetings and able to set up camps and also outreach evangelists. He do such a good work, Father. So I'm asking you to continue to bless he and his family. Without him, Father, who else can we can replace? We cannot replace him, Lord. So please, we ask that you bless his health, bless his life, his trust, bless his work, his ministry, bless his church, Father. And we thank you for what all he's doing for Advent Light Ministry. Now, Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John. We lift up, Father, what you have done for them. Lord, she is thankful for what you have done. She has been on the prayer line, Lord, on the prayer line now for about seven or eight years. Lord, we have seen the turnaround. You bless Sister Brenda to come out of a bleeding ulcer. You bless Brother John to come out of his sickness, almost death. And now, Lord, they are seeing a blessing that you have given to them while they've been patiently waiting upon you, Father. And I'm asking that you continually turn our children around, as my nephew have said, that he done turning around. So, Father, continue to work with him. I'm not going to just say, but, Lord, I'm asking you to just continue to work with him in his life, especially help his children, help him to love his children and teach his children. He does such a good job with his son and his daughter. So I just praise you for that, Father. And now, Lord, Father, we lift up Sister Katie to you. Sister Katie, her precious grandbaby that had his leg was broken. Heavenly Father, I had pain in my leg, my knee, and my hip. Father, I've experienced pain. And, Lord, when she told me that baby chin was broken, Father, I can help but cry because I know the pain I was in. And many of us know the pain that we have in our knees and our hips and our legs and our bones. And to see that baby go through such a pain, Father, oh, mercy, that went through me. So, Father, I pray for this baby. I lift this baby up to you right now. And I lift this brother up to you, Father, that you keep these children and protect them. Lord, you allow these children to come from such a terrible incident when they were born. Lord, Father, we thought they weren't going to make it. But, Lord, there was a light. And next thing we heard, oh, they are doing well. So, Father, you have answered prayers on this prayer line. We want to thank you for what you have done. And, Lord, Father, we lift up our son to you. Lord, she always requests prayers for her son. We ask him that you turn him, Lord. Help him to seek you. Help him. He knew you, Lord. She taught her son. So help him to turn back to you and study the word. And, Lord, we pray and lift up the mother to you. We pray for her, Lord, that she may get to know you and serve you, Father. And we thank you. Pray for her family and all of them, Father. And then, Father, we lift up Brother Akeem to you, Father, as he has gotten his pastoral license. Now he's preaching the word, Father. We ask that you bless him. And we ask that you will pour out your spirit and give him words to preach, Lord, with power. Because, Lord, in this world, so many of us need to hear the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. So now, Father, I lift up Sister Power Ministry, Rosie Project. Father, I pray that the donors can come through and that that can be more donors to donate towards the cause, Father, to build and finish that project, finish the Williams Project. And, Lord, even get more food there for the and have the other brothers and sisters begin to work with Sister Power so they can take over that ministry, Father, that they can begin to fix the food and serve the food to the neighbors and to the community, Lord, because Sister Power just needs to rest right now. She don't need to be standing up fixing it, but she can be director. She can be the director, Lord, as these young women come forth and begin to work, do the work, Father. So thank you, Father. Thank you. Because we know when Mary and Martha was in the kitchen and Martha kept crying, Jesus, can you tell me, Mary to come and help me? But you said, Jesus, that Mary had a greater work to do. So, Father, help there be some Marthas. Help there be some more people to come and help Sister Power and that they may cook this food and that they may stand in and serve it while Sister Power can direct. Lord, Father, she cannot. She's at the age now, Lord, and she done worked all her life, and now she needs to rest her legs, Lord, Father. I'm asking you to bless her. I'm asking you to keep her, Father. And I'm asking that you heal her legs, Lord. We know you able to give her new legs. We know you able to make them legs as brand new, as a young teenager. Father, we know you're able. So bless her. So now, Lord, as we will hear the message tonight, Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would pour out upon us tonight to give us this power from off high and that we may hear what thus saith the Lord, and then our heart would be no more sorrow, but we would be filled with the word of God, knowing that God said, if thou will keep his commandments, he said, because the commandments is the character of God's law, not nothing of ours, but it's his character. So Heavenly Father, bless this prayer line tonight. Be with us as we are hearing the word. Bless each and every one. And Lord, if we've forgotten someone that we didn't pray for on this prayer line, we ask him that each and every one be lifted up on this prayer line. Leave no one out, Father, but I'm asking you to touch every heart And, Lord, Father, we didn't lift up Sister Stephanie, but we lift her up to you now, Lord. We ask that you give her healing, Father, because she needs to get back to work to take care of her babies. I'm praying for my daughter on the highway attending to her daughter. So please bless her and give her safe traveling mercy. Bless Brother O'Neill, Father, and take care of he and his children. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. And, Lord, if we have, Father, if we have forgotten anyone, you know their name. Bless Brother Udy, Brother Richardson, all those that was on his Brother Bernard, all my brothers and sisters. Father, we don't want to leave any of them out, but ask them that you take care of each and every one. We thank you. We praise your holy name. And we ask all this in your son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being patient as we are here. And our brother, Akeem, is here. And we will open his line. And brothers and sisters, Pastor Akeem is here. And he is the speaker for us tonight. Amen. Pastor Akeem,
amen.
Your line is open.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on once again. And as we continue to study the Word of God this evening, thank you so much for the prayers. And it's a blessing to be on. And as we study, I pray that we will gain a rich blessing. We have begun to study the seven seals. And so as we continue to study this evening, I pray that things that we cover will make sense. Last week, before we head into our prayer, we covered a number of things. We covered the reality of Revelation chapter 4, where we saw God the Father seated on the throne. We saw that God the Father, by the end of our study, was in the holy place. He actually has a throne there. We saw it at the end of our study, and we also looked at this reality in early writings. In the chapter, I think it's chapter 10, the chapter titled The End of the 2300 Days. And so we saw that the Father, from the time that Christ ascended all the way till 1844, that the Father and the Son and the angelic hosts, the 24 elders and the four beasts were located in the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And one of the reasons that we understand this point is because of the symbolism it uses. This is really powerful, the symbolism that the Bible uses. But some people will say, okay, you read Ellen White, but where do you see that in the text? What are the hints in the text that actually tells us where we are? If you look at Revelation chapter 4 and you look specifically at verse 5, it mentions similar language as it mentions in Revelation chapter 1. When it mentions Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, it mentions him standing in the midst of a certain article. Revelation chapter 1 tells us Jesus was standing. When John saw Jesus, he was standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It is reiterated or mentioned again in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. This is the throne room here. But the throne room where the Father is actually, with the 24 elders and the four beasts, the four living creatures, is actually the holy place. We know this because it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So we saw that this article was connected with the Holy Ghost. Because we remember we said seven in the Bible represents perfection or completion. So this is speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit, one who is complete in all that he offers, one who is powerful in what he provides, one who is perfect. Hence, it says the seven spirits of God. But what does it say? How does it connect the Holy Spirit? What article does it connect the Holy Spirit to? It says the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. So this is one of the ways that we know we're in the holy place. In chapter 5, it mentions the article again, but in another way. It says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, the following. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. That means perfect power. Horns in the Bible represents power. And seven eyes. That means wisdom. And the seven in the Bible represents perfection. And then eyes in the Bible represents wisdom or discernment. So perfect wisdom, which are the seven spirits of God. But notice the seven spirits of God have been sent where? Into all the earth. And we saw last time that that was a symbol of Pentecost. Why? Because in chapter 4, there was no mention of a lamb. But chapter 5 is the same scene. It's the same throne room. The Father is now holding something extended in his hand. So these two chapters are connected, going in chronological order. But now in chapter 5, Jesus is being revealed in verse 6 as one who has been recently crucified. Hence the reason the Lamb was not mentioned in chapter 4, because Christ was on earth at that time still. But in chapter 5, he has just ascended from heaven to earth. And now he is in the scene where he is inaugurated, where he now ascends and is before the throne of God. And what happens to the seven spirits that are before the throne represented in the lampstand? Friends, it is sent forth into all the earth. And when was the Spirit sent forth into all the earth? Shortly after Jesus was crucified. Friends, it was none other than on the day of Pentecost. He was sent forth upon the earth to do a mighty work upon the 120 in the upper room that would result in the dissemination of the gospel to the entire world. It would affect the earth. The Spirit was now about to work in a way that he had not worked in the Old Testament. But now, in light of having a church purified because of their love for Jesus, and being teachable, because there are many things that they had to learn concerning the partition between the Jew and the Gentiles being broken down, that wall no longer existing. But because they were teachable, the Holy Spirit was able to work in a way that he was not able to work in the Old Testament through the Jews that were arrogant, that were proud and said the gospel cannot go to anyone else, who did not even realize their missions. Their mission was symbolized in the routine of the sanctuary. It became just a routine to them rather than something that had powerful symbolic significance. And so, friends, now that God had a people to work with, the Spirit was ready. Now that the Spirit had a people that he could move upon in a new and dynamic way, friends, the early rain began. And friends, I tell you the truth, this is also the prerequisite for the latter rain. In the 1800s, the latter rain also came to our people. The Holy Spirit came to our people. The reason that we're still here, the reason that the gospel has not gone to all the world, is because that message, the message that brought the latter rain of righteousness by faith, was rejected. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's power to work was stunted because of people were not willing to be worked on, to be a conduit and an example to the world. This is why we are here today, friends. This is what we can learn from this situation that sets us up for the seals. Now, in light of looking at this, we're realizing chapter 5 is the same throne room scene of a holy place as chapter 4. The Lamb appears. He is worthy to be praised because it says in verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book. So the Lamb had taken the book from the Father's hand. It says, thou art worthy to open the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and nation and tongue and people, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And friends, hopefully next week I will try to remember to bring the two interpretations, actually, of that text. Actually, I may be able to get it for you today, in short. All right? I may be able to get it for you today. So in verse 9 actually points out this powerful point, all right? It says here, textual evidence concerning chapter 9. It says textual evidence. This is found from the SDA Bible Commentary, page 773, volume 7. It says textual evidence attests the reading them with reference to the redeemed of verse 9. The reading us was probably taken by the King James translators from the Latin Vulgate. It is thus evident that in verse 10, the ones speaking do not specifically include themselves as kings and priests. It is not impossible, however, that they may be speaking of themselves in the third person. But this is not the natural conclusion to which the reading of the ancient manuscripts points. According to the preferred reading of verses 9 and 10, may be translated as follows. Now listen to this. This is very interesting. And this is why there is a divided perspective in the Seventh-day Adventist movement as concerning what is being said here. As concerning, one, the elder that is speaking to John at this moment, and specifically in verse, when it says here in verse 4 and 5, it says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, because the Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." So there is a divided understanding within the Seventh-day Adventist movement concerning who the elder is, who the 24 elders are. There's one group that states it is a symbol of all the redeemed that ascended with Jesus when he ascended the final time. It was the group that was resurrected when he died and came out of their graves when he rose from the dead. And so some believe that it's them. But another view of this subject is that, friends, the 24 elders actually unfallen beings. And so I'll try to bring that out. And the reason is because, as it mentions in the SDA Bible Commentary, page 773, volume 7, the literal translation would actually read, verse 9, speaking of verse 9, it would actually read, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou wast slain and didst purchase to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and didst make," here it is, "them to our God a kingdom of priests, and they shall reign upon the earth." Now remember, as you read it in your Bible, it reads as follows: "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." But apparently the more literal translation reads, "And didst make them to our God a kingdom of priests, and they shall reign upon the earth." So apparently the people singing here do not categorize themselves with humanity. And this is why this is so interesting. It's so interesting as you look at it, because it seems to indicate that what we're looking at here is that if it's really them instead of us that the text is really showing, then it seems to indicate that these were unfallen beings singing of the glory of the cross and what it has done for humanity. And Desire of Ages, pages 19 and 20, actually brings forth a similar point. It says both the redeemed and unfallen beings will find in the cross of Christ their science and their song. So it's not just the redeemed who will find in the cross of Christ their signs and their song, but also unfallen beings will find in Christ their science and their song. All right? So this is very interesting as we look at this. So one of the other things I wanted to bring forth as well, as we go back to verse 5, all right? Verse 5, as it concerns the elder speaking to John. This is one of the things that has been brought out, all right? Now check this out, all right? This is why the argument is so strong. Verse 5 says, "And one of the elders said unto me," right? So they're one of the 24 elders. Now look at this, because the context is chapter 4. Chapter 4 shows that the elders that were involved in this throne room holy place scene was the 24 elders. So when it says here, "And one of the elders," in chapter 5 and verse 5, "says unto John, Weep not," it would be one of the 24 elders. But look at what it says here. All right, so it says in verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And he beheld, and John saw the lion as a lamb. All right? But look at what inspiration actually tells us. This is serious. Are you ready for this? Friends, this is so powerful. All right? It says in Manuscript Releases, Volume 12, page 297, speaking of Revelation 5 and verse 5, where the elder spoke to John because he was weeping, she states this. His, that is John's soul, was wrought up to such a point of agony and suspense, you ready? That one of the strong angels had compassion on him and laying his hand on him assuringly said, weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Do you see it? So friends, this is why, and I am actually of that group, but this is why there is a division of one group within the Seventh-day Adventist movement, and it's not a division to fall out over, friends. This is just something I'm pointing out to you. It's not something to get into an argument about, but I'm showing you the two schools of thought as it concerns these 24 elders. One group states that it is 24 elders of redeemed humanity, people that were raised when Jesus died and came out of their graves when Jesus rose and ascended with Jesus when he ascended and were placed in these powerful positions. But you remember, friends, the 24 elders were already in chapter 4. They were already in chapter 4. They were already in chapter 4. The 24 elders were there in chapter 4 before Jesus ever arrived. That's something we have to keep in mind. They were already there before Jesus ever showed up in the holy place from earth. That means, it seems to be indicating that the 24 elders are not human. And it seems that what is being stated here in Manuscript Releases, Volume 12, page 297, that the 24 elders are actually angels, powerful angels, who have been given seriously high roles in the kingdom, along with the four living creatures who are also angels. So there are different categories of angels that have been given powerful roles in heaven, that when they sing to God in this stage, this is why, as we read in verse 9, they say, and has made them unto our God king and priest, a kingdom of priests, and they shall reign on the earth. This is why there's this distinction. They actually pull themselves away from the group, showing that this group of humanity is who we're singing of, but we are totally different from this group. And one of the reasons why is, as we read here just now in the Manuscript Releases, it seems to indicate the 24 elders are actually powerful or strong angels. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. And Ellen White points out that these elders were actually, this elder was, which is one of the 24 elders, was actually one of the strong angels. So the 24 elders, it seems, this is the other school of thought, are actually unfallen angels, powerful angels that sit around the throne of God having a specific duty that is very intense. All right? Having said all of this, Jesus appears in the throne room of the holy place. Appears now. He has the power to take the scroll from the Father's hand. So as he takes the scroll from the Father's hand, friends, he then begins to do something. And so we have done the recap. And I've added a few pieces of information to that recap. But now we will then go to prayer and then go into the first seal. All right? Well, then we'll go to prayer and then go into the first seal. So if you're by your heads with me, wherever you are, as we prepare to go into this new segment. All right? Father in heaven, help us to understand the truths of your word as we continue to understand these seals, and give us wisdom and understanding. And Lord, help us to be able to process these things that we are reading of, and to be able to, in some way, shape, or form, apply it to our lives so that we may know how to stand, especially in the times in which we live. Father, guide us. Father, teach us. Father, instruct us. Father, empower us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right? So, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1 the following. This is a continuation of the scene. Now, you remember the year when Jesus ascended to heaven and laid hold of the scroll, himself being inaugurated as high priest, hence the worship service at the end of verse 6. This was the year AD 31 when this happened. So when Jesus opens that first seal, it is AD 31 or 31 AD. We are now living in the year 2023 AD. But this was all the way back, almost 2,000 years ago, 31 AD. All right, so he takes hold of the scroll, and it says in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1, John sees him. And it says, and when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were, and when I then I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. All right? So as this takes place here, we're seeing that John sees probably the one of the four living creatures made this noise. It says, as it were, the noise of thunder. All right? So this is probably an indication of the lion that is roaring here. One of the four beasts, it says, saying, come and see. And then it says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. So let's begin to unlock the text, this concept of a white horse. All right, this is really powerful when we look at it. So I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to go and see what this is. All right, give me one second here. Something I want to get for you guys as we look at this, because this is huge, very powerful, as we look at what this actually means, all right? So go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and we're going to go to verse 8, all right? We're looking at white in the Bible, Revelation chapter 19 and verses 7 and 8, all right? Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. Speaking of the white raiment, this is what it states that the bride of Christ wears. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed, here it is, in fine linen, white and clean. For the fine linen, that is white and clean, is what? Is the righteousness of saints. All right? So in one place, we're realizing that, wow, this white, we're looking at the color white in Scripture, is a symbol of what? Of righteousness. White is a symbol of righteousness. All right, so as we keep looking, we're now going to look at the concept. This is a white horse. All right, so righteousness, a symbol also of purity. There is no sin in this, in whatever this horse symbolized, because it's a white horse, all right? So if you have your Bibles with you now, I ask you to go to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 3. Zechariah 10 and verse 3. Let's look at what a horse represents in Bible prophecy. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 3, all right? Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 3. And this is the Lord speaking here, and speaking through Zechariah and revealing what a horse represents in Bible prophecy. All right? So it states here, in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 3, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. That means the ones who are supposed to be guiding leaders of his people. And I punished the goats, giving us the understanding when we go into the New Testament, goats are associated with those who are not following God, right? So associated with those not following God, this is what it says here. For the Lord of hosts had visited the flock, his flock, the house of Judah. So now we're talking about God's people, all right? For the Lord had visited, what does it say? His flock, the house of Judah, and had made them, that is the house of Judah, his people, what? He had made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Do you see it, friends? So a horse in Scripture symbolically represents what? A horse represents the people of God. It represents the church. All right? It represents the church. And this is vital for us to understand. So we're looking at a church then. So white horse. When John looks and he sees this first seal broken, what does he see? He sees a white horse. And that white horse is a symbol of a pure church. Because we found out that white in the Bible symbolizes righteousness, and a horse in the Bible symbolizes God's people. So it represents a people that rose up in AD 31 that were pure. A church that rose up in AD 31 that was pure in its operations, that were pure in how it operated to the glory of Christ, all right? And this is so important to learn and to know and to understand. Now, in light of this, I want to read, friends, we're reading about the breaking of the scrolls. But I was trying to make sure I look for you while we were discussing this, and I found it. All right, so we found out that white, symbol of righteousness or purity, no sin, right? White, a symbolism of the church, the people of God. God says in Zechariah 10:3, for the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, the house of Judah, and had made them, that is his people, the house of Judah, as his goodly horse in battle. So a horse represents the people of God in Scripture. So we're looking at a group of people, the people of God in AD 31, a church that rose up in AD 31 when Jesus broke the first seal on the scroll. John saw that a church rose up at that time that was pure in its activities. It was filled with the righteousness of Christ, and it was following him from step to step, filled with his righteousness and manifesting that righteousness. Now, we're going to come back to this. Something I wanted to mention is remember that these are the seals that keep the scroll sealed. The scroll is not the seals. The scroll contains something that the seals closing, right? So the seals are on this scroll and it's keeping it closed. This is why Jesus is breaking the seals. But as we're going to realize, with the breaking of each seal, we see an unfolding of a certain portion of history at a certain time. Now we're in AD 31 and we're looking for a church that rose up that was pure and filled with the righteousness of Christ. But I wanted us to keep that in mind, because the scroll itself is not the seal. When you seal a document, the seal that you place on the document is not the document. Sometimes the seal, you roll up that document, and then a seal is placed on the document to keep the document closed. You have to break the seal in order to open the document. So I pray that makes sense. The reason I'm saying this is because, friends, this is what we read in Letter 65, 1898, all right? You can also find this in Manuscript Releases, Volume 12, page 296 and 297. It states the following. Speaking of this scroll, not the seal, but the scroll which the seals keep closed. This is what it says, Revelation 5, verses 1 to 3, about the scroll. there in his, that is the Father, there in his open hand lay the book, that is the scroll. The roll of the history, now notice this, this is what the scroll is, contains. There in his open hand lay the book, the roll of the history of God's providences, the prophetic history of nations, and the church. Herein was contained the divine utterances, his authority, his commandments, his laws, the whole symbolic counsel of the eternal, and the history of all ruling powers in the nations. In symbolic language was contained in that roll the influence of every nation, tongue, and people from the beginning of Earth's history to its close. It says the roll was written. That's why it says the roll, continuing the statement, the roll was written within and without. Of course it was written within and without. If something contains the entire counsel of the eternal, friends, of course it was like that. John says, and then she quotes Revelation 5, verses 4 to 5, and different parts of chapter 5 and chapter 6. And then she continues by saying, the vision as presented to John made its impression upon his mind. The destiny of every nation was contained in that book. John was distressed at the utter inability of any human being or an angelic intelligence to read the words or even to look thereon. So do you see why he probably cried? Because he realized it contained everything, not just the eternal counsels of God, but friends, it contained that which pertained to the human race. And that's one of the reasons why God, though he knew what was in the book, he allowed his son to open it. Because in the book of John chapter 5, it actually tells us that God has committed all judgment unto the son. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of Man. Christ is not just, but as a human and also as God, as a God that became human, the only one that ever became human and the only one that there is, he, being human now, has the right to open a book that pertains to the eternal destiny of humanity. This is why this thing is so powerful, friends. That was written in Letter 65, 1898, and manuscript releases, Volume 12, page 296 and 297. Now, as we go forward, there's another section to this seal. Now, that was the scroll. We uncovered what the scroll is, but we only uncovered portions of what this first seal is. John saw a white righteousness horse, church. So we're looking at a church that was righteous, which rose up in AD 31, because that's when Jesus broke the first seal. But then not only does this white horse symbolizing a righteous church, but it has a rider on it that has a bow in his hand. Now go with me in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 9. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us the following. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 9, it tells us this. Thy bow was made quite naked. So we're reading about the bow here. But what is the bow? Is this symbolic language? Indeed, for it says, thy bow was made quite naked, meaning it was clear. It was out in the open. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes. Notice this, even thy word. So the bow that was made naked according to the oaths of the tribes was the word of God, right? Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers, all right? So it is the word of God that is symbolized as a bow going forth from his lips. It becomes a reality. It makes whatever he speaks, accomplishes, it gets to its target, which is what? In many cases, if you look at creation, it is creation. Whatever God says, once it came out of his lips and went forth, it became. In other words, the bow, the reason the bow is used is this aspect of bow and arrow. Whatever God speaks or shoots out, The very thing that he shoots out of his mouth, the very words, become whatever his mind intended for it to be, right? So, hence it says, the bull was made quite naked, parenthetical part, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. So literally we can read it, thy bull was made quite naked, even thy word. So the bull represents the word. So we're looking at a church that went forth in AD 31, filled with the righteousness of the Son of God, their lives in harmony with his life. Filled with his life, they manifest his life. And what comes forth from their lips as they go forth, what comes forth from the rider on this horse, friends, and that would then symbolize, rider on the horse would symbolize the leaders of this church in AD 31. They would guide the church to go forth with the righteousness of Christ, proclaiming the word. That is the bow. It had the word of God, and it was shooting that word into the hearts of men, allowing the word, under direction and the power of the Holy Spirit, to convict souls. Hence, the Bible says, this rider had a crown on its head, and it went forth conquering and to conquer. And friends, there was only one church like that. The horn symbolized, the crown symbolizing victory and power. You can read that in Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Jesus received the crown of authority and power as he ascended to glory. So the crown represents power and authority. Hence, the Bible says this horse and its rider went forth conquering and to conquer in the first seal. Now, friends, there was only one church that rose in AD 31, going forth filled with the righteousness of Christ, declaring the word of God with the Spirit's power, standing in authority upon that word, winning souls, hence the terminology, conquering and to conquer. There was only one church, friends, and that was the church of the apostles. It was the church that rose up in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, going forth fully imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit sharpened. That is the word of God now sharpened. And as the Spirit moved upon the apostles to preach, conquering and to conquer, 3,000 souls were won in a day. A few chapters later, 5,000 were won in a day. By the time you get to the book of Colossians, Paul could say 30 years later, this powerful point, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. He states, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and here it is, by this time. This is how much the church was going forth, conquering and to conquer, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You check it, friends. The year that the Spirit descended and empowered the apostles to go forth as the New Testament church of the apostolic era, the first church that is made manifest, symbolized under the first seal, you check it. From 31 AD to the time that Paul wrote the book of Colossians was approximately 29 to 30 years. Within 29 to 30 years, the gospel had gone to the entire then known world. No Facebook, no computer, no cars, friends, no social media. Not saying that we can't use these things. But friends, under the unction of the Spirit, these men sacrificed, men and women sacrificed their lives who were in that upper room that day, went forth and inspired others to sacrifice their lives, to go forth and communicate the gospel of salvation until the entire then known world got the gospel in less than a generation. And I tell you the truth, it could be done way sooner in our time. Friends, this is the first seal. It is a symbol of the church of the apostles, the church that the New Testament church that began in the upper room. This church period lasted from AD 31 to AD 100. So 31 AD to 100 AD. I'll read two more statements and then we're done. It says this, it says the following here, and I want to read this statement to you, and it's coming from Uriah Smith. And he actually summarizes this because he realized, the early church realized this, and this is why we have to go back and study these things, friends. We have a more sure word of prophecy and a way to interpret. It's not that these men had a perfect interpretation, but friends, the majority of what was laid down, and this is why we need to go back and read these books so that we may be able to understand how to interpret the scriptures. Uriah Smith said the following: the first symbol is a white horse, speaking of the first seal, bearing a rider who carries a bow. A crown is given to him, and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. A fit emblem or symbol of the triumphs of the gospel in the first century of the Christian era. And that lasted for how long? From AD 31 or 31 AD to 100 AD. I pray that this made sense, friends. This is the first seal. My prayer for us today is, as we looked at this seal, it is the desire of God that we get back to the first seal. This is paralleled to the church of Ephesus when it's speaking about the seven churches. The seven churches and the seven seals run parallel. So the church of Ephesus is this church that when it began in that upper room, in the book of Acts chapter 1 and 2, friends, it went forth with power, filled with a love for the Savior, filled with righteousness by faith, not minoring, not majoring in minors, but friends, focusing on that which really mattered and setting aside their differences for the truth of God's word, the truth that had been revealed for that time. And they went forth in unity under those specific truths, bringing it to the entire world, setting aside their desire for superiority, because they had a love for Christ and they were filled with his character, his righteousness. Friends, it was powerful. And so I pray that we will come back to that experience, that we may disseminate the gospel quickly and bring this work to an end. Father in heaven, I pray that these things make sense. And as we now close up our time here this evening, I pray that we were inspired, we would be inspired to go forth, to bring the word before the nations, before our sphere of influence. Lord, if each and every one of us did this, Lord, how soon the work will end, how soon the gospel will go to the entire world. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus Christ, help me, Father. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Help us, Father. Well, Pastor Akeem, at Ben Light Ministry, yes, want to thank you for bringing this message clear to us. Sisters and brothers, I know that some of you may have not understand the 24 elders, which way it went, whether it was the angels that was not humans or it was the humans that was resurrected with Christ. But this is something I learned tonight. And I've also learned that I didn't know that the goat was not the goat was symbol that not the fowl of Christ. I didn't know, but I knew that, period. I knew that. But I learned something with the horse. So I'm sure my sisters and brothers learned that. But that was the main first thing that we all want to know again. You said that I was wisdom. The crown is power and authority. I got the bow.
Right.
The bow is the word, and the arrow shoots through the heart. You said there was two more that you mentioned.
Say that one
two
more time, Stiliola.
That was two more. The crown.
Right, then you got the white. White symbolizing.
Okay, the white is pure.
A white horse is purity or righteous. That's Revelation 19:8. And then And then what else do we have? So we got the horse, a symbol of the church, which is Zechariah 10:3.
Good people. Got that.
Right. And then you have the bow. You have Habakkuk 3:9 is the word. And then you have the crown. Hebrews chapter 2,
we
verse 9 shows the crown. You have that.
Yes.
So was there another thing you were thinking? Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay.
So, Brother Akeem, we want to thank you once again for bringing us something that you give us some teaching tonight. So we appreciate you. We thank you. And we just pray that God continue to bless you with wisdom and knowledge that you can teach his people. Amen. So we're going to thank our brothers and sisters now for joining us tonight. And may God bless. And we're going to end with a song. And we want to thank all our viewers that even from out of the country, those that join us on the internet, all people, we want to thank you and ask that you continue to watch because, you know, as we are here learning together, God is giving us wisdom and understanding as Brother Akeem is bringing this message, and we continue to do our own study. So we praise God for that. So sisters and brothers, I'm going to end with this song for you guys, and may you be blessed and have a blessed and a good night rest. Amen.